Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what's going on? Well, we had the old rip your face off rally on Monday, and man, they did a rip job, boy. I'll tell you, it was quite the rally, and not a real surprise. I mean, you know, again, as I've warned and said many, many times here, that these rip your face off types of rallies will show up. They don't announce themselves, just like the markets don't announce themselves. And sure enough, bang, we had it. Now, the day was really interesting because when you look at it, you saw the markets up much higher overnight and everything was flying. And Monday morning, the Russell fell apart and went actually down and was getting destroyed before coming back and rallying again. But the entire, you know, rip your face off type of market we saw again. It's going to happen. You're not going to get the market is not going to get straight down or go straight up. When you get volatility, which we had, you're going to see some action in the market. And we don't really care if they go up or down. We just want them to go. All right. That's the real key here is the concern is not whether they go up or down, but just that they go. And if they're going to go, then you're going to have an opportunity. Now, I would look at this as a potential, selling opportunity. I think that, you get into these positions and, I think we're running up against a potential, upper end here now. So I would say that this would be a place that, somewhere in these neighborhoods, I'd be looking for a spot to sell. I think that, as you look at it, you want to make sure that you understand how the market actually works and how the market functions, right? If you're investing, you're doing one thing. If you're trading, you're doing another thing. So traders, you're looking for the footprint to go ahead and take advantage of it from here. And if you're investing, then you always should be buying on levels that you think are good. I mean, that's really what the markets come down to is where are you and where do you find, good opportunity to get into the market? And I think that is something that, we continue to try to stress right here on the show is to say, hey, look at markets are markets and they're going to go up and they're going to go down. But your objective is, depending on what your goal and what your trading plan is, if your plan is that you're investing, then you invest and you forget about it. You don't look at the markets in general, from a day-to-day, minute-to-minute basis, because if you do, you'll end up putting yourself in an insane asylum. You'll be with Jack Nicholson and Ratchet, right? Putting the pills under your tongue. You have to figure out, where you want to be and what that trade is designed for. That's the big challenge in the business is understanding what you're trying to do. Now, again, for me, my long-term portfolio is hedged. So I don't worry about the day-to-day movement or the minute-to-minute movement, but I love the trade. So I trade minute to minute and things like that. And I think that is something that, you have to understand from your perspective is what are you going to do and how are you going to handle your own particular trading? If you're buying gold, then you want to buy it, then you buy some and then, or you load up knowing that you're not going to sell it. Again, when you're trading in different asset classes, it really comes down to, what is my time frame? What is my objective here? And if your objective is short term, well, then you trade different than if you're trading long term. But, again, like, for example, long term, I want to be short treasury bonds. I think interest rates are going higher, but I would not sell them today. OK, because they've already been destroyed and pushed down quite a bit. So I'm not interested in trying to sell them now. I would be looking to sell them into a rally. The equities, I think, the next year, I think they're going to be lower. So I'm looking for rallies to sell. Crude oil, I'm looking just to sell. All right. The dollar, I'm looking just to buy. And those are things that we look for versus opportunities that will come aboard and come above for us to be able to see. And if you continue to use that strategy and those kinds of setups, then you'll know what your risk is. You'll know what your exposure is. You'll know what you're trying to do. And then you'll put yourself in the best possible position to be successful. It does not guarantee that you will make money on every trade, or it doesn't guarantee anything. But all you're trying to end up with is to be in the right place that gives you the highest probability of success, which then in turn gives you the best chance and the best opportunity to make money. And that's really what it always comes down to, is where can you have the potential to make the most amount of money? And that's why you're investing. That's why you're trading, is to make money. I mean, as I've said many times, life comes down to two things, and one of them is money. So learn to put yourself in the position to be able to make that money. Learn to put yourself in the position to be successful. And then you won't be driving yourself crazy trying to figure out which way did he go. You know, you and was it Elmer Fudd? Which way did he go? We're not interested in which way he went. All we're interested in is, how are we going to make money? Okay. How are we going to put ourselves in the best position? That's our job. That's our objective, is to simply say, okay, how do I put myself in the best position? And that is by using the right strategy, by using the right plan. And if you do all that, then you'll see, and you'll look at some of these, you'll go, oh yeah, I see what he's talking about. You know, we've been talking about grains forever, and we're going to talk more about those later because we're going to play an interview with John Jenkinson. But, you know, we said that look for a pop, and sure enough, here they come. All right. So this is something that we have to always focus on, is what is the general direction of the market, and what is the general direction of the volatility, and where is my best opportunity? So if you agree and you think the top isn't as well, then you will look for a rally to sell. If you're looking for a spot to buy, you'll wait for a dip to buy. And I think that is the most important, is to have a game plan as to how you plan on attacking the overall market. And that is always something that we want to stress to you, is have a plan, have something in mind that's going to allow you to create at least the best potential opportunity to put you in at least the best spot so that you have that opportunity to make some cash-a-rooney. All right. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, it is that simple. It's not that simple to make money every day or every time you make a trade, but at least if you have the edge going in, then it makes it a heck of a lot easier than when you're trading without the edge. And I think that's something that we, you know, like to talk about often, is, again, trying to at least put ourselves in a position for success. Because if we don't, then we're just kidding ourselves. Then we're wasting time, you know, trading in a market that we're not going to be able to trade in anyways. And I think that that's, you know, the case for many, is that we're just kind of pushing buttons and hoping. And the old wishing and hoping never worked out that well. And it's, I don't think today is going to be the day it's going to start working either. You know, that's never a great strategy of wishing and hoping. So, you know, that's why we teach the youth. Okay, that's why in my high school investing program is I'm trying to teach people to understand markets depending on what you're trying to do. And of course, if you'd like to help me out, if you'd like to help a brother out, we're looking for donations at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, we're only going to put the money right back into the high school program. I got another payment due for the website. So, you know, looking to help out there. And in the meantime, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. You can, you know, hear always when you miss a show, you just go check it out. And of course, my daily updates, which are, if I do say so myself, pretty good. You know, you can get those for free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com, and the little box pops up, fill it out, and you'll get every day after the close, you'll get emailed a little video telling you what I saw, what I'm looking for, and what's going on next. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, we had that rip your face off rally. And I'll tell you, you know what really gets under my skin is listening to some of these commentators, listening to what they have to say. It almost makes me want to puke. Okay. I love the fact when they start charging in and all the bringing the bulls out of the closet, trying to make sure that everybody stays in. And again, I'm not saying the markets aren't going up. Okay. Maybe it's just the way I don't like the way they present everything. I think that, you know, anybody who could come and tell me that they love Tesla at this level, I love the car, but anybody who can tell me that they think it's going dramatically higher based on what's going on now, I don't know. I think I could be wrong, but I don't know. I think I'd have to see a doctor because when I look at Tesla, okay, I mean, you know, nice car, but, you know, you can't make up losses on volume. And I think that's kind of what the Fed has tried to do is we continue to churn and burn more debt. You know, somebody asked me after I did Bubba's Bottom Line on Sunday and said, what's the Fed? Why do we need the Fed? And the answer is we don't. Okay. The Fed was created by a bunch of people that want to get all the money. Okay. I mean, you know, the Fed has absolutely no value in today's market, which is why you're seeing a lot of the run to, you know, Bitcoin and things like that, because the Fed has no value, in my opinion. I mean, you know, what do? They break the laws all the time between the coinage and printing that's done in the government. I mean, you know, when are we going to get away from just churning and burning and putting more money up? Why can't we have them do real things like actually people go to work and build something and reduce this debt? I mean, do we think this debt is going to magically disappear? Is this the magic debt disappearing trick? You know, I mean, you know, I don't know why we think that we have to continue to push these things up. And why is it that we can't just let bad business go? I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed with all the extra debt we're going to now be adding. I mean, we're already at record levels of debt. And, you know, the actual personal debt is bigger than it was during the housing collapse. So what are we trying to approve here? I think that kind of is kind of a snarky and it looks pretty bad from my point of view. I don't know what you think, but I'm certainly not all that thrilled with it. And, you know, I see, you know, I see another meltdown coming. Now, again, overall, we know the markets are going to go up, but I mean, right now, they've got about the boat. They got the boat about as fully loaded as they can get it. You know, if you look at the overall margin debt and you look at what's going on, I don't know where we're going to get any more people to step in and buy, any more investors. All right. You know, obviously there will be. I mean, it's more tongue in cheek, obviously. But, you know, you've got a market that is fully valued. And why doesn't anybody talk about the money? You know, if a company's earnings is based on X and one of their X's is expenses due to interest loans, well, if interest goes up, what's going to happen then? How is that going to affect their earnings? How's that going to affect their PE ratio? I mean, I'm just saying, right? I'm just curious. I watch this and I listen to it and I see it and I can't comprehend how nobody ever wants to talk about the debt. It's like it's going to magically disappear. And you and I both know that this is not the case. I mean, my debt never magically disappears. I mean, I'd like to have the debt from 4 years or 8 years, the last consecutive 5 years of college tuition disappear because I paid for it. But I mean, you know, where is it that we see that this is going to magically go away? And of course, that's the problem. That is the major problem with the whole system is everybody kicks the can down the road, leaving the bill to be paid for by your kids, unless you're younger, your grandchildren maybe. So eventually, somebody's going to have to pay the debt. All right? You know, who is it going to be? I don't know. I won't be here. So, you know, I'll be long gone by the time they even think about paying it back. But I think that, you know, you have to wonder, you know, why is it that that's the step that we decide to take is to continue to build debt and not set up the country for the upcoming, you know, I believe back in the day and through my generation, you know, we always wanted to leave our kids in better shape than we were. And I think I've done that. I think I've set that up pretty well. But, you know, at some point, somebody's going to have to pay this. And why wouldn't we try to pay it down now so that we wouldn't leave the world a mess? You know, that's one of the things I'm getting a little confused about is all we're doing is creating more money, creating more money, creating more money. And what does a debt do? It doesn't do anything. And I think that's the problem with the fiat currency system. That's the problem with the banking system. That's the problem with the Federal Reserve. And that's the problem with the government. Okay. There is nobody. Nobody is being held responsible for the debt. Okay. And I mean, this goes back just a short time ago as to the financial crisis. Why were the banks relieved of debt? Why did they get bailed out? And it just it's always a topic of conversation because it still doesn't make sense. And that's why you're seeing so many attempts to try to decentralize where you can get away from having, you know, a group of 12 or whatever it is, make a decision that affects your life. Okay, because I don't certainly don't get it. I mean, I think it's certainly a joke what we're doing. I think it's certainly, you know, and it's not just the Fed. It's all the central banks. Okay. You realize how much stock they own. You realize how much they've had to prop up everything to make this economy run mediocre. Now, are we here for mediocrity? Do we all want to settle for mediocrity? I mean, I know I don't. I don't understand why we think that settling for mediocrity is the answer. Because certainly this country could be America is the greatest place in the world. But it certainly could be a hell of a lot better. And so could the other countries around the globe if they'd quit just, you know, trying to force feed us crap that they believe when what they believe doesn't work. It has been proven time and time and time again. I mean, wouldn't you rather see a stock market at 15,000 with no debt in the country and with everybody having a good job? Wouldn't that be a better way to look at things instead of letting the wealthy, and again, you know my views on get the wealthy get wealthier. I think that's the way it should be because they're the ones that are going to support the economy when it needs to be supported. But wouldn't it be better if we could pare that down and actually lift up the people that aren't making enough money by creating the jobs and creating the economy that would help everybody? To me, that would make more logical sense. Of course, you know, who said that that our governors, you know, our Fed governors and our politicians have to have logic? Okay. Who said they have to want to do the right thing? I mean, basically, based on what they do, I don't think they ever want to do the right thing. I very rarely have seen the right thing done. And, you know, in the meantime, we get farther in debt with the elaborate Ponzi scheme that has been created by our good old friends at the Federal Reserve. Now, again, it's legalized because obviously they're doing it. But, you know, to me, all we have is one giant Ponzi scheme that at some day, you know, will you have a place to sit when the music stops? And I would say that a lot of people won't. And I will say that, again, that there's going to be a problem. And, you know, I'd like to get that problem resolved. And if everything is as great as they say it is, then why can't we resolve it now? That would be just a question I'd like to ask. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And LibertyTalk.fm, you know, you can download The Bubba Show every day, and you can download The Sporting Edge on the weekends, as well as our new show I do with Matt Demeter, Crypto Investor X. Great show. And we talk a lot about the cryptocurrencies and why we believe that they're the real deal and they're going to be here to stay. And of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you at BubbaTrading.com. Just go there and fill out the link and you can get yourself all set up and get my views live right after, well, not actually live, but tape, but right after the market closes. You can check it out. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break and I'll be right back with my John Jenkinson after the break.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here.
the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, at CNN, CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And of course, you know I do a lot of work with RFD TV and Rural Rally Radio. And yesterday I was on Rural Rally Radio in the morning and I talked with John Jenkinson. And here is what we had to say when I was with John yesterday on farming.
Trade and wit and wisdom here this morning with Todd Horwitz with Bubba Trading. Good morning, Todd. Did you have a good weekend?
Wit and wisdom. What are you? Good morning. How are you? I had a great weekend.
I'm good. You're full of wit and wisdom.
I'm full of something. I don't know if it's.
See, I wasn't going to go there. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was nice. Nice. You know, always nice to be off for a little bit and and partake in some other friendly things.
Sure. I was reading some of your comments over the weekend and then going into today's activity. Higher last night with the soybeans, and that was from what I've seen so far this morning. Everybody's pointing to the fact that the rains didn't materialize in the south.
Well, you know, we've been hanging around at 985 level on either side. And of course, you know, I believe that the commercials are going to get trapped. I think they're overly too short here. And, you know, I think you start to see a little bit of buying and all of a sudden it accelerates. And here we are back near, near 10 bucks again. And we'll see if we can hold above 985. I think they're going a lot higher. I mean, I do believe, and you know, we've talked about this before, wheat and corn are going much higher as well. And I just thought that soybeans had a key area, and if they can stay above it, you know, you could be looking at the mid-10s pretty soon. So I think that, you know, the outlook for the grains, I think, is really good. And I think it's going to get stronger. And, of course, we're getting a little bit of an equity rally this morning. But I think this is just a dead cat bounce that should be sold anyways.
Very good. And you've always said that things are looking up over here, at least for the corn and the soybeans on the grain side of things. So are we starting to kind of build a new normal here, do you think?
Yeah, I think we're starting to build some pretty good base and some pretty good support. And I think after we had the lows a few weeks ago and have steadily moved higher, I think that works out well. And then again, you know, with the we've already priced in a higher dollar. That's pretty evident, you know, based on the action. So, you know, everything looks pretty solid. And again, if the equities continue where they left off, which is, you know, now into correction territory, that money, I believe, is going to flow into grains. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons to believe that we can go higher. And the biggest thing that tells me we're going higher is that they couldn't get them lower as hard as they tried. You know, they huffed and they puffed, but they couldn't blow the house down.
Interesting. So as a producer, now what do you do? Because you got planning decisions to make, and a lot of those decisions aren't going to change too much because you're kind of locked into most rotations. But there's some great opportunities here to kind of protect yourself now.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I'm a believer that you should always be somewhat hedged anyways. You know, like I believe in being hedged every day of the year and without having to, then I don't have to think about what goes wrong. And if I do want to store, then I'm protected. But at the end of the day, I think you're getting some prices here that you should be locking in some numbers. Now, again, it's going to be close because, you know, we still need, I think, a little bit more of an upside move, you know, to get near break even kind of and at least lock in, you know, so not a bad year. But I just think you should look at ways to protect yourself here just in case, you know, things turn around. And even if it's for a short term, because you can also benefit if you're hedging properly, you can benefit from the down move as well.
And you can benefit from a higher move also on.
Well, that goes without saying. Everything we do is based on the markets going higher. You know, I don't ever give up the upside potential in anything. I'm never one of these guys who's going to lock up where I can get out at. I always want to leave the opportunity for what we call the big market. Because, you know, one thing we know for sure is markets never announce themselves, never tell you what they're doing. Well, maybe they tell you, John, but they don't tell me when they're going up or down. So I have to be more prepared.
No, they're not telling me anything. I get all my information from Todd Horowitz. what are the funds thinking now about all of these, the commodities as a whole?
Well, I think they're still shorting. I mean, you know, they're going to start to rely on the dollar, you know, going up. And I think the dollar is going to start to take off to the upside. But I believe based on the price action, I think that the dollar, a higher dollar is already priced in the market. You know, we went in the dollar down to new lows hadn't been seen in years, yet the commodities really couldn't get off the deck. And then all of a sudden they did get off the deck. But, you know, I think we all realize that this currency war and this central bank manipulation is exactly what it is. And I think we're going back to a more of a free market trade and going off of the supply demand model. I think we're going to start seeing, you know, more demand. I think that, you know, we're going to see a lot of things that are very favorable. And I think the commercials are going to get trapped because they're working off the wrong metrics right now.
And anytime they get trapped, you always seem to get these wild swings. What do you see then in the cards for this crude oil market? Because that goes into the commodities, right?
Crude's going to zero. Crude oil is exactly what I thought it was and what we talked about, that when it was going up, it was in that backwardation formation, and it was all fear-driven. And, you know, at these levels, you know that the shale producers are pumping like mad. We've got rig counts at highs. And there's no real reason to believe that oil has a lot of room to go on the upside. And I know many are calling for 70 and 80 and 90. I'm calling, in fact, still for 40, which is what I've been looking for a while. But I think we'll probably turn around here. I think that today's bounce is a natural bounce after going down 12%. So certainly we get what they call dead cat bounces all the time. And that was what this is, I think. And I think this is probably, if you're a trader in oil, I think this is a great selling opportunity.
Okay, well, what if you're an end user, though, like an agriculture?
I'm not hedging. I would not hedge upside price here. I think that you have a much greater possibility of a break to the downside. I think that your risk-reward model is far skewed, that if we can go up, so we can go up another, back up 3, 4, 5%, but in the meantime, we can go down 25%. I don't want to hedge up at these levels and hedge the upside. You know, if I was a producer that, you know, and protecting corn for feed, I would have been hedging it all along into the upside. But up here at these levels, I'm not hedging oil for production because I believe that oil is going to go much lower, and I don't see any reason to put myself in that position here.
We've had a lot of talk about the Fed raising interest rates and what that's going to do to the economy and what it's going to do to the dollar, things like that. What are you hearing?
Well, I mean, the Fed is totally clueless. They have no idea which way is up. I think what's happening here is the interest rates are going up, whatever they want. Whatever the Fed says, it doesn't matter because the interest rates are going up. We can see the 10-year at about 2.8 and the 30 is over 3. And their last safe haven was the dollar. And now the dollar is starting to get away from them. And just so you understand, since we're all global now, a stronger dollar actually makes rates accelerate to the upside when you're going outside of the United States of America. And that's where a lot of the money goes to. And that's one of the big problems. And I think that, in my opinion, the Fed and their way that they do business is going to be the black swan event that will actually cause the equities to really sell off much harder, because I'm looking for about a 30 to 40% haircut in the market.
Wow, that's a lot.
It'll come back.
It will?
Well, yeah. Listen, the market goes up 8% year over year. That's the one nice thing you can count on the stock market, is if you're investing what you can afford and you're not going to need the money tomorrow, the markets in history have gone up an average of 8%. So, you know, again, you just have to be willing to not overextend your boundaries and create too much debt. You know, right now we've got too many people buying stock with money they don't have and borrowing on margin. Well, what does that create? That always creates a much bigger sell-off at the end of the day. That's why we'll have this sell-off, because the debt is so high. But as soon as it calms down, the markets will go back up and go up again. Because listen, the United States, there's no place like the United States of America overall, and it will correct, and then it will come back.
That's fascinating. I'm glad you tossed that in there. Todd Horowitz here with us with Bubba Trading. And when we come back, more with Todd. That's on the other side of this break. Right now, though, let's check.
Well, I think John might have been a little upset. I went a little bit too long, and we're going to come back with in the next time. We're going to come back with the second half of the interview, but we went a little bit over. But again, one of the things you saw and we talked about was the grain markets and why they should be going higher. You know, we talked a little bit earlier today. You know, the wheat market is exploded yesterday, and it's no surprise. I think that we're going to see a lot higher prices here. I think there's a lot of reason to believe that the grains are going to go higher. I think there's a lot of reason to believe that that cattle is going to go higher, but I think it has to go lower first, but we'll talk about that next. But in the meantime, there's going to be money flowing in. A lot of these outside markets are starting to break down. And, you know, we're going to see a reason to believe that there's going to be more opportunity. And again, when you're looking for opportunity, what you really want to look for is you want to look for some of those a little bit of depressed or beaten down sectors, and there has been no more beaten down sector than the grains. And I think this is one of the things I think you need to learn to look at. Okay, when a market is supposed to go down, and you hear all the news and the reasons why it should go down or up, it doesn't matter. But in this case, it's down. One of the things you have to look at is, well, at a certain point, it stops going down, which means that the people that are invested or trying to short it are probably going to get stuck, which is why I think we saw some of these bigger rallies now, is because what happens is the commercials have been trying to push and push and push, and they haven't had a lot of success at pushing these markets lower. Well, eventually the rubber band snaps back and you have to be ready to go the other side. And I think that is something that we have seen pretty deliberately there. And I think that, again, the commercials were pushing as hard as they could, and they just couldn't get in a really break down, right? They were trying to get to the $3 corn, and they couldn't get it there. They were trying to get to under $4 a wheat. They couldn't get it there. And I think now you're seeing the ramifications of what they tried to do as the markets have spun around. And, you know, now corn's trading, you know, in the 360s, and wheat's trading in the 460s. And even soybeans are back over 10. So they're above their resistance level, or that 985 key level. So I think that's important to understand. All right. But in the meantime, what's more important to understand is that you need to go to libertytalk.fm every day and download the Bubba Show, so I can get to my goal of 1 million downloads a month. And you also need to go to BubbaTrading.com so you can get on Bubba's Daily Update. Okay? Because, again, I tell it like, you know me, I tell it like it is. I may not always be right, but at least I tell you what I'm thinking. I'm never trying to convince you to do anything you don't want to do. I'm giving you what I believe is happening in the market. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break with more with John Jenkinson of Real Rally Radio. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, we're visiting with John Jenkinson of Rural Rally Radio and also of RFT TV. And we're going to go and talk about the meats and some of the other things that are going on in the world. And again, I think it's important to understand the dynamics and how markets all work and correlate together. And that's why we're airing this interview, you know, here on the Bubba Show, because it ties into a lot of things that I'm explaining about any industry. But of course, this is the farming and producing. So let's get back to John right now, and we'll be back at the interview
as we get ready to discuss the livestock market. Kind of ended the last week on a sour note a little bit.
Well, you know, it was a pretty interesting week. It didn't feel like they were really as bad as they were, but they actually were down pretty good for the week. You know, look, John, I'm looking for the fats to be about 122, and then I'm going to step in and buy them. I think the feeder is about 144. We almost got there on Friday. I think those are two great levels. I'm pretty confident and pretty positive cattle. Actually, I'm pretty positive of all three, but I think we're going higher. I just think that there needs to be a little work done to the downside. You know, sometimes markets get a little bit farther than they should, and they kind of get out of whack, and now I think they're coming back in to fill all those holes in. And I think once we get back to those levels, I think we look to be buyers, and I look for much higher prices, at least, you know, going forward. And even the formations are starting to change a little bit. You know, typically going into June in fat cattle, it's a little bit more bearish, but that's even starting to change a little bit. So I'm looking for higher prices, as long as we can go down and meet my lower objectives first.
And we're not too far off of that. You said that things are looking a little bit better. And you know, as far as there are some that are saying, oh gosh, you know, we've got this wall of protein that's going to hit the market, and things are just going to tank. But you know, we just haven't seen that in the cash. You know, we traded mostly steady cash last week. Things just kind of seem to be holding their own. Consumer still seems to be buying all of this stuff. You go to the steakhouses, you drive by those on the weekends, and the parking lots are full.
That's right. And John, you got to remember one thing, and this is something that's very important for everybody out there. The markets are well ahead of everybody else. Everybody you're telling me, not that I knew, but the markets knew it already. And so they've already priced in that potential of that there's going to be this big wall of protein coming at us. So we already know that. So it's not going to be a surprise. You know, the only news that really bothers the market is something that comes totally unexpected. And most news items are kind of priced in ahead of time. Now, they're not maybe not priced in exactly, but typically they're overpriced in. Like if it's going to be bullish, they're typically too bullish ahead of time. And if it's going to be bearish, they're too bearish ahead of time. So the markets will revert back to the mean. And that's what we see here. So this is not anything that's a major surprise. And that's why we see the kind of movements we see, and that's where you have to really focus on what did the market expect, and I want to go against what the expectations were once they've either bought them up or sold them down.
Interesting. What about some of the other outside macro market, you know, things like cotton, some of the other things that folks don't pay close attention to? How are they doing, and do they fit into the broader commodity sector?
Well, I think they do. I mean, cotton was doing well, and it's been, you know, under a little bit of pressure lately. I think that you know, copper is probably going to continue to sell off, which is, you know, which would tie more into the equity theme. You know, obviously oil, you know, I'm not a fan there. The bond markets are selling off heavily. They're now after being in a 38-year bull market, they're now in a bear market. So, I mean, there's a lot of things out there that make sense and that really relate back to the agricultural spot being the spot to be for investors, you know, and that's where you're going to start to see some of that outside money come into this space, because they're going to be looking for a place for return. And of course, you know, corn at 360, 365 and wheat at 460, 465. Those are pretty good values. I can't imagine them going much lower versus they have a chance to go a heck of a lot higher. So I think that's the whole dynamics that we watch, and that's where I think we're going to see the big boom. And that's where I think it's all going to come from. When the equities break, which has been my theory all along, that money's got to go somewhere, and I think it's coming here.
Some of those equities, though, have got to be getting really nervous. Not everybody, but some about that. I have recent activity in the Dow last week.
Oh, no. There's a lot of concern, and that's why the volatility is so high. And that's what's going on here in this market, which makes it even more believable that we're going to see that money flow out. You know, they had a big number of outflow last week in mutual funds, which means a lot of people are panicking. And as we both know, there's a lot of people that are in this equity market that don't want to be there. You know, a lot of retirees that would rather be in a passbook savings account at 5% instead of being worried about the stock market every day. So, and you tie in that with the overall margin debt and everything else that's going on, and that creates a very big nasty sell-off, which is why for now every big rally, or what we like to call the rip your face off rallies, need to be sold, because that's just panic buying, and that'll resolve and we'll go back down and make a lower low.
Interesting. Well, there's a lot of dynamics to this, and the only way to keep up is stay in touch with you. Todd Horowitz with Bubba Trading here with us. Todd, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you very much for the visit here this morning.
Thanks,
and
John.
And you know what? We need to take one more break.
So you heard me talk about the meats and what I thought, and of course, cattle, I think, is, you know, I'm bullish cattle. I think it needs to sell off a little bit. I'd like to see 122 in the fat cattle. You know, trending around 125 right now. I'd like to see about 144 in the feeder cattle, and it's up to about 147. So I'd like to see a little bit of a pullback, but I'm definitely bullish. I want to buy it. And I talked a lot about hogs, and I've been talking about this for quite a while, and that was the April hogs. The first thing is the way the spreads reversed, okay? You know, back a couple of months ago, April hogs were about $7 over Feb, and now February is about $4 over April. So imagine that reversal. Okay. Secondly, I thought that 70 was a pretty key level. And of course, 70 broke down a little bit, but then of course they came charging back. And I think this is, again, this is learning and understanding how to trade and understand the market system. Okay. It doesn't matter what the product is. Again, here we're talking about farming products, but it doesn't matter what they are. All markets are the same. They trade the same. They do the same things over and over again. Okay, remember, we talk about universal price. All charts are the same. All patterns repeat themselves. And the shortest time frame always has to resolve itself in the longer time frame. So when you look at the chart, forgetting what the product is, you will find yourself to be a much happier camper if you allow the markets to kind of dictate to you the tempo of what you should be doing next. And we talked about this early in the show today about in trading or in investing. I mean, right now in the grain markets, I'm an investor. I'm not a trader. I'm not looking for a quick turn. I'm looking to hold these things for a long time. Okay. To me, buying corn and wheat, you know, not right now, they're a little bit high. I'd like to see a little sell off. But in these areas, I mean, that's like buying a stock. You're looking for an investment. You're just investing in a different area, but it's still like an investment. And that's what I would be looking for. All right. And hogs at these prices to me is an investment. All right. I'm looking to invest here because I think you're going to see a lot higher prices. So it doesn't matter what you're looking at. It's what you're trying to find always is value. Okay. And to me, I felt and said, I mean, it's not, and this is not a new story. I felt that those were value plays. And if we can find value, then we want to be buyers. And it could be a stock. It could be anything. Again, I never get to a point where I say, well, you can't buy the stock because I think the market's going down. What do I care? I'll buy any stock or sell any stock no matter what the market's doing. I'm not a big believer in the high or low tide brings everything along with it. I mean, it might put a little pressure on it. But, you know, if the markets are going up, it might help it squeeze a little bit. But if it's not ready to go up, it probably isn't going up. You know, you can take General Electric as an example. Okay, that ain't ready to go up yet. So you can have a big market all you want. In fact, that was the one Dow stock that was down yesterday. So, again, that's where you have to use your head when you're looking at markets and thinking of how to dictate what you're looking for. And if you do that, then you will find yourself in a much better position in general. And, again, these are things I try to teach at the high school level. Okay, because again, the understanding of markets are the key things that we want to do. I'm trying to teach you and everybody else because you got to understand how the market works. So if you do that, you'll have give yourself a much better opportunity. And of course, if you want to help me out at highschoolinvesting.com, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And you can, you know, make a little donation. If you do, you get a week's free of my advisory, my futures advisory. And you can get to check that out and see how you like it. I mean, we've been doing pretty well, so hopefully that'll be something that'll work out for you. And in the meantime, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. That is the Bubba Show. And that will do it for today's show. As always, I thank you and appreciate you all being here. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow on Wednesday. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody, thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.